I don't think it would hurt anybody to go back and listen to the others. I'm on number six, so there's five out there. I don't usually linger this long on one subject because I have a little rabbit brain sometimes. I'll be talking squirrel, you know. I'm talking to them and think, what was she talking about? Don't say anything, Phil and Ashley. Don't do that. Don't agree with that. But anyway, it's been said that reputation is the power of the teaching ministry over and over and over again. So let's just jump right back into everything that you need to know about healing. So I talked to you about the 10 biblical practices that allow us to take hold of the divine health and healing made available to us through Jesus with work of redemption. So I'm going to read them to you. Renew your mind to the truth. We've gone over all of these. Aligning your heart and mouth. Holding fast to your confession. Letting patience do its work. Asking God for clarification. Stay in unwavering faith. Laying hands on the sick. Letting the gifts of healing and the working of miracles do their work. Here's today's. Taking communion and receive healing. And the next one, calling the elders to pray with the anointing of oil to receive healing. Those are the two I'm going to talk about today and a little bit more. So number nine, taking communion for healing. One of the greatest methods Jesus gave to us to remember our covenant with Him is the practice of taking communion. The Apostle Paul describes this sacred observance of the Lord's death in 1 Corinthians. So go ahead, Lauren. 1 Corinthians 11? Is she saying something to me? Oh, yeah, I did. Hang on. No worries. I have a Bible. So, 1 Corinthians 11. Oops, I went past it. No, I did. It says this. I have received the Lord, which, 1 Corinthians, 11:23. Yeah, I'm right. When he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take and eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he took the cup after he had had supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Now, I know y'all know this, but one of the greatest methods Jesus gave to us to remember our covenant with Him is the practice of taking communion. The Apostle Paul describes this sacred... I think I just read that. When we take communion, the bread we eat or the cracker represents Jesus' blood that's been broken for us. Our physical and mental healing. Now, let me tell you, when I say mental healing, that's like if your mind just won't shut down, or dementia, Alzheimer's. I'm talking about all of that. Remember Isaiah prophesied. Do you have Isaiah 53, Lauren? Did she? Okay. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. And by his stripes, we are healed. Just go ahead and give me 52. But many were amazed when they saw him. His face was so disfigured, he seemed hardly human. And from his appearance, one would scarcely know he was a man. The horrific treatment he endured was for the purpose of purchasing healing on our behalf. Now that's love. What we drink from the cup in communion represents Jesus' blood that was shed to obtain forgiveness of sin, redeem, freedom from guilt. That means if your past is niggling at you, forget it. Take communion. That's what Jesus did. He doesn't remember it, so why should you? And shame. If you feel shameful for what we did, let me tell you what. Can I just say this right here? David was an adulteress. David was a murderer. Rahab was a whore. And yet, they're in the lineage. That's his grandfolks. Okay? All right. So don't do that. Don't. God doesn't remember anything, so you don't. All of these are priceless blessings are included in the work of redemption and atonement. Praise God. I don't sit around and think of all the things I did as a teenager. It just would ruin my walk. I'd come up here feeling so guilty that I thought, I don't do it. What did I do? Nothing. I'm like Paul. You know, I'll have people come up and, who was it? I mean, people have memories. I don't understand. But they come up and they can remember things and I think, not me. I'm fresh today. It's me today, you know. People may not like think like that, but I do. So anyway, the communion table is our healing table for our life. We know that you can partake of communion by yourself in the privacy of your own home with your family or friends. We take it once a month here, if not more. Communion is the Lord's Supper, and it's far more than a ritual. Don't ever let it become a ritual here. When we drink from the cup, we are acknowledging the blood of Jesus. That was key to our redemption from the shackles of sin. So, like I said, if you think, well, okay, I'm just going to go really big here. Like, really big. I can't shake this pornography. I can't do it. Jesus has redeemed us from sin. Sin has no hold over us, people. If you're saying I can't do that, then you're not reading the Word of God because it has no hold over us. He broke the power of sin over us. Okay, please don't be doing pornography. With each bite of bread, we acknowledge the physical anguish Jesus endured to obtain healing for our body and mind. So when we take communion here or at home or in your car, wherever, release your faith to receive everything that God has given you through Christ, including healing and health, and allow it to come flooding into your life. So if you've been standing faithfully on the promises of God, on His Word, believing Him for the healing and divine health Christ paid for on the cross, but you haven't seen your manifestation yet, don't throw in the towel. God is faithful. It may be that taking communion is just what you need. The act of communion is powerful. It's holy. It's serious. It's covenant stuff. We're doing covenant stuff. Jesus gave His body for our healing, and when He gave that bread, He said, everything I have is at your disposal. All the promises of God is at our disposal. We just have to draw on it. That healing bank. We can withdraw healing that we need, the provision we need, all covenant promises He made to us by faith. We just have to do it. You can sit there and drink it until you got to go pee and you don't believe anything. It didn't do you any good. Meg can bring the jug up here and you can guzzle it down. She can bring a bag of crackers. When those kids go over there and wipe out communion, but it's when you take it in faith and you say, God, I'm believing for a new car. I need that new car. People go, oh no, prosperity. Anyway. But you need that car. Or you want that car. And you just do it and you keep doing it and you keep doing it. And it will manifest. I'm just telling you, it's the way it works. So when you take the cup, Jesus said, this is the new covenant in blood. He backed this covenant with blood, Jesus said, as often as you do this. Now you say, what do you mean? I can do it at home. Or I can do it in the car. If you're in a tight spot, you don't feel good, and you just feel like you need to take communion, look around, see what you got. You got a Dr. Pepper? You got a piece of candy laying around? I'm not belittling what communion is, but your heart is, you just feel like, God, I've got to take this, or you've had an attack or whatever. You just sit there, and here's what you do. You put that someplace, that cracker, that bread, whatever you have, and this drink, and you stop. You carve out a few minutes of your time. and you say, and you concentrate on Jesus on the cross, or them, we showed so many videos of them stripping his flesh off, and you just shut your eyes and you think, he did that for my healing. And you just visualize that. And as you take that in remembrance of him and you crunch that cracker, you think about his body being crushed for you. And you thank him. That's just what I needed, Father, to remind myself of what Jesus did for me. This is my covenant. And you're taking them. I take in your healing into my body. Then you get over here to the cup and whatever you're needing and all you're asking for, you are, it's covenant. It's covenant. There's a limitless supply. It is a heavenly bank account that he's giving you permission to draw from. So you say, Father, I thank you that I'm forgiven of every stinky sin that I've done. I am forgiven. You don't remember my sins, past, present, or future. I take this for my healing, for my provision, for my body, because you provided it. And you just honor him and you thank him. That would just take probably 3 to 5 minutes. I do it daily. I've started taking it daily. I get someplace where I can sit down and do just what I said. And I'm taking his healing, his provision into my body. Now, here's the deal. Don't get off on this too much, Terry. Okay, I won't. There's probably a bunch of us in here that are taking a handful of pills. Let's just be honest. Now, some of them are vitamins. Those are game. And some of it's medicine. When you take that medicine or you take them vitamins, you lift them up to God and you thank God for it. Now, let me just go a little step further. Those can have adverse reactions. They mess you up. They make you gain weight. They make you lose weight. These are just side effects. Communion doesn't do that. It doesn't do that. It's free. Don't get off too much. Okay. It's not hard to understand. We just have to do it by faith and honor it. Number 10. Calling for the elders of the church to anoint with oil and to pray the prayer of faith. Lauren, have you got James 5:14? 14. Are any of you sick? You should call for the elders of the church to come. You should call. Now look at that. You should call for the elders of the church to come and pray for you, anointing you with oil in the name of the Lord. So the word sick here, let me break this down. It describes one who is frail, in frail health, or one who is physically weak and he's unable to travel. He's a shut-in or he's in the hospital. In other words, they can't leave their house, the hospital, or nursing home to travel to church to receive prayer. But you didn't know that. I didn't know that. It is best, it's always best, if a person can come to church. Always best. If you can muster the strength to come to church, to get up and here's why. There is power when we're all together. There's more power when we're all together. When you're with a bunch of believers who know that there is resurrection power inside of them, that's the place to be. Because of you guys, there is it's called a corporate anointing and corporate faith that works wonders. Now, for your information, I would never be concerned about a sick person coming here to church. This is where you need to be if you're seeking healing. I know usually we just want to stay home, lay around, and not be around people. I get that. It's my personality. But if healing and prayer is what it, you need to come to church. You're sick. This is where you need to be. Why is it Sundays of all day out of 7 days of the week is the day that we're most tired? Kids want to stay home. They're fussy. Or we just want to do nothing. Isn't that the truth? Okay, back on track. If a person is so ill that he or she cannot physically get to church, this is what James said. He said to send representatives of the church should go to him or her. So here's how it works. Miss Susie calls and says, I'm sick, I'm at the hospital, or I'm in the nursing home and I need prayer. Gotcha. So here's what I do. I can do. The elders, this is what this means. Formally designated church authority. So if a person that's sick and homebound and can't make it to church and calls us, I could send people out I appointed and trusted to pray the prayer of faith and anoint that person with oil. That is what the Greek word calls elders. There will be, now let me tell you what, I'm going to send you some prayer people. They are going to know what to do, what to pray, what to say, how to anoint, and do it. Okay. Now the oil in the New Testament and in the Old Testament is this. It's a symbol of the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. Now the oil itself, this is straight from Egypt, possesses no inherent healing properties or powers. It has consistently symbolized the presence of the Holy Spirit and the power of God in both. This is just a symbol. The moment oil is applied in a time of prayer is the moment the sick person is to release his faith for Christ's healing to manifest in their body. That's their responsibility. I can drown you in oil, but if you don't have faith, ain't gonna work. Ain't gonna work. It can. Do you wanna? I'm gonna give you a sermon one day. I am. I did. I did put vegetable oil. No. This just happens to Morgan brought it back, and this when this is gone, it's gone. So we just pray over oil, anoint the oil. You know, we just pray over it. So we do that in the name of the Lord. You pray for someone in the name of the Lord. The name of Jesus is higher than any other name. The name is His name. Jesus is exceptional good, noble. It's superior. His reputation is above all others. So when we pray in His name, we are praying in both the name and reputation of the one who indisputably has the power to heal any sickness or disease. Lord, the Master and Supreme Lord are the one has ultimate authority in every realm, seen or unseen, including authority over sickness and disease. Now put me 15 up there. Such a prayer offered in faith will heal the sick. Period. Got it? Period. Got it? Period. Okay. And the Lord will make you well. And if you have committed any sins, you'll be forgiven. Bam, bam. I'm going to read it to you in the Rick Renner version. He says this, and the heartfelt prayer of solid rock, steadfast, unwavering faith will deliver, heal, liberate, and physically save the person weakened from sickness. As a result, the Lord, the one with supreme authority in every realm, seen and unseen, will raise him up. And if, as the case may be, he has carried out behaviors that have missed the mark of what is right and are sinful in nature, he'll be forgiven and freed from them. Isn't that awesome? Now, there's no buts with that. It's just plain and simple. If you ever wondered what prayer from church elders and anointing the sick with oil was meant to produce, this is it. This is from the Greek. Now, there may be some people, that doesn't mean that you can't come up and I will anoint you with oil. But when it says if you're sick, you call on the elders of the church, that's what that means. If Megan were sick and she said, Tara, I need you to pray for me, anoint me with oil, I would do that here. I would do that here. It will work too. Here is the great news. We have so many people here who know how to pray a mighty prayer of healing over the sick or anything. And they will be healed, whoever they pray for. I could send out more than one team right now who are fully equipped in the word and faith to pray. Thank God, without hesitation. I got it. Can you guys say amen to that? Yeah, we have got that. I told you before, when I pray, I don't sit there and wonder, think, well, are they gonna, you think that's gonna work? No! Not at all. When we pray, when we come together and pray, there is no thought in my mind. The only thing that would be disturbing is if that person doesn't believe it. That's the disturbing thing. It's not, did God hear us and does God want to do that and will He do that? It's like, were they like a numbnut? Not on the law, not you guys, but you know what I'm saying? And they just think, I don't believe that. I don't know. Why'd she do that? You know, all of that. God is just like a rip-roaring horse ready to go. He wants to do that. That's what He wants to do. Okay. So here's the deal. We've covered many topics relating to healing and divine health. Jesus' sacrifice purchased for us on the cross. And when He took all of the punishment for sin, for physical pain, sickness, as well as emotional afflictions. When we believe and receive what Christ has done on our behalf, we become empowered to do our part in our healing. He's got a part, we've got a part. What I want to teach you, okay, you say, well, how come I have to have a part? Salvation, He had a part, you've got a part. He paid the price, you have to believe it and receive it. Amen? Okay. So what I want to teach you right now is why people get sick. Now, I want to just tell you, I am just skimming the top. I'm not even getting the cream off the top. I'm skimming the top of the cream, okay? So I could, each one of these, I could do at least a month on, but I'm not going to do that. I'm just going to skim through them. And I'm going to tell you right now, if you've got any questions after church, come see me. I'll answer them, okay? Because I've read it all, but we just don't have the time to do that. Number one, Lauren, have you got this? The biggest culprit for sickness, why people get sick, is the curse. You got that? Or did you do that? There you go. The stinking curse. We know that through the open door that Adam had unsealed by his willful transgressions, death entered in. Death entered in the world with a full furious intensity. It's just what Satan was wanting. Thorns started coming on roses. Weeds started popping up. Sickness entered in. The word cursed in Hebrew is from a word that means to bitterly and horribly curse. Today's death, persuasive presence, is still in the earth and manifests its malice in many forms. Bloodshed, disease, earthquakes, famines, hunger, murder, pestilence, perversion, sickness, strife, and war. None of that existed before Adam. None of it. He messed up. Eve was deceived. He was not. He didn't man up. He didn't say, sweetheart, you're beautiful, but don't you do that. We're going to honor God. He didn't do that. He didn't want to make her mad. It was not God's doing. He's good. He's always been good. And, you know, people say, well, you know, how come that happened? That was not an act of God. Do we have any insurance agents in here? That just needs to be taken out. Tornadoes are not an act of God. They were never here before Adam messed up. God's blamed for many tragic happenings that have absolutely nothing to do with Him. I need an amen. People wonder, why do bad things happen to good people? We have an enemy. In the Greek, the enemy means this, one who is not just oppositional, but fiercely hostile. In other words, I'm going to break it to you. He hates you. He hates you. Luke 10:19. Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. Don't you ever forget that. You've got the authority. Jesus bought that authority back. I've talked about authority. I've gone into a great deal on that. If you haven't ever heard that, come see me. Number two, why people get sick is lack of knowledge can open a door to sickness. Colossians 1:13. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of His Son, of His love. We've been delivered, rescued, extracted from the power of darkness. So many Christians don't know and haven't been taught that healing belongs to them as part of the redemption work of Jesus. I can't tell you the number of people who have come here and said, I've never heard that before. Hosea 4:6 says this, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. 3 John 2, Lauren. I'm doing these. Dear friend, I hope all is well with you and that you are as healthy in body as you are strong in spirit. It was never God's plan. He says, above all things, I desire that you prosper and be in good health, even as your soul prospers. This has got to prosper for the other things to happen. It was never God's plan for his children to scrape by with hardships and barely get by. Never was. I'm going to read that to you in the Renters. My dearly loved brothers, it is my strongest desire that you prosper in every way that concerns you. That you not only have enough money to pay your basic bills, but enough extra so you can really enjoy yourselves on every road of life that you take. Amen. And that you be healthy, in good physical working order, sound physically in every way, and that you are blessed with a good mental health. You break that down in the Greek, that's what all God meant. Okay. Number three, disobedience can open a door to sickness. So disobedience can happen when a Christian neglects to heed the scriptures and God's personal guidance. In both of these, in the big things and in the small things, we risk letting little foxes get in. It might seem minor acts of disobedience, but it could also be the small crack in the door that lets the devil in. I'm just going to go ahead and tell you this. I don't know how many times I've heard Copeland say that. Go back to the last thing. Something's not going right in your life, go back to the last thing God told you to do. Make sure you did it. If not, do it. Now, not every time, listen. Not every time a Christian gets sick, they have disobeyed. Okay? So don't do that. We don't judge. We don't look and say, oh, well, she must have sinned. No. Don't do that. But this is a way. But if a Christian consistently goes against the word and what it tells us to do, that's not good. That's not good. Holy Spirit is always talking to us. We may not always be listening, but he's talking. But he is there to help us, guide us, comfort us. So if you have a niggling feeling inside of you, you guys know what I mean by that? Thank you. Stop doing that, and something says, don't do that. But you go ahead and do it anyway. And then the next niggling feeling, you know, sometimes you'll just kind of stop hearing that because you have this disobeyed so much you don't want to hear it. Or do this, that's the Holy Spirit. Don't just ignore that niggling thing. He's not going to holler. He's not going to bowl you over. You're just going to get this sense, I shouldn't do that. You want this fancy new thing, and oh, it's shiny, it's pretty, it's new, and you've got someone pressuring you to buy it. I'm not talking about a car. I'm just talking about you want a new this or that. And you just think, you just don't get a peace about it. Go with the peace, especially if you have to hurry and make the decision. Go with the peace. And then God, there's no telling where he'll lead you something better, something cheaper, something you'll like even better. So go with that. Isaiah 1:19. If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. Willing and obedient. So just confess that you're willing and obedient. Number four, foolishness can open a door to sickness. Now this is going to sound harsh, but it's true. Some people just make dumb, foolish, and stupid decisions. Amen? They just do things. I was telling someone the other day, I remember, they're out by where I live, on D. Does anybody still call it Jackrabbit Hills besides us? Anybody know that? Well, it's just like this. And, when my brother and I were in school, I think he had a 65 Ford Fairlane that he souped up. That thing could run. Had wheels on it, black and white. I mean, you know, Will says it's a Ford, it should have been souped. But anyway, Doug, like to make me mad. It was his life thing to aggravate me. And but anyway, he's with the Lord now. Thank you, Father. But we went airborne on those. He would go so fast. And then when we come down, sparks would fly. The frame would go down and up. Now, I know Will's never done this, so he's thinking, so? But that's foolishness. That could, you know, lose control, hit, you know, all of that. There's no right of way or anything like that. I'm just giving you an example. So, I'm going to mention a few things that are foolish. So remember this, when I mention this, Jesus stands ready to help. His guiding hand, even when we do stupid and dumb stuff and make bad decisions, he's ready to help us out of our mess. Thank God. Lauren, give me Hosea 13:9. Don't have that? 13:9? Oh. Okay. O Israel, this is the one I want. Thou hast destroyed thyself, but in me is your help. See, he's there to help us, even though we try to destroy ourselves. I am personally thankful for this part, that scripture. Here are some examples. Don't anybody get mad at me. Being overweight, driving too fast and reckless and joyriding, using a credit card like there's no tomorrow and you never have to pay that baby off. Being immobile, not getting up and moving, just sitting and don't do anything. Never taking time to rest. Bad eating habits. That's just a few that I threw in there. Those can be stupid and dumb and foolish things if we don't. To our body. You understand? To bring sickness on our body. Number 5. Unresolved hidden issues can open the door to sickness. Proverbs 4:23, Lauren. Guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. You know the dangers to your health and that strife and unforgiveness are unresolved. You guys know this, but when envy and strife are allowed to fester, they result in every evil work. Every evil work. Proverbs 14:30. A sound heart is life to the body, but envy is rottenness to the bones. So I don't know, but if anybody's got any of that strife, if you're not acting right, you say, well, it's not bad strife. Any strife, evil's going to come in and work in your life. Any envy, anything like that, get it out. Or you wonder why your heart's not? I mean, just take a look at that. A sound heart is life to the body, but envy is rottenness to the bones. Okay, enough said. What medical and psychological science, this is not the word of God, this is medical and psychological science, tells us about long-term effects of bitterness, offense, strife, and unforgiveness. Heart disease, digestive problems, immune dysfunction, sleep apnea, and insomnia. Dysfunctional relationships, decreased self-esteem, mental and health disorder, increased anger. Is that enough to make you want to vomit? I don't even like talking about that stuff. But you entertain and you decide being mad at somebody is more important. And you do that for too long and you don't get it taken care of. Terry, it's not worth it. It's not worth it. Jesus tells us offense and things that cause people to stumble will come. It's going to happen. There are going to be people that make you madder, that betray you, that talk about you, that do things against you. It's going to come, people. It's going to come. He said it. It's imperative we learn right away how to handle them and when they do, if we want to keep our heart from bitterness, offense, strife, and unforgiveness and all the ugly stuff I just read to you, it's a killer. Amen. That's hard preaching, but it's the truth. I promise you, we can learn to forgive, and Jesus will help. These are things the enemy loves. It's his playground, I'm telling you. Jesus made a way at the cross for us to get victory over this. Number 6, anxiety, worry, and fret can open the door to sickness. Anxiety, worry, and fret. anxiety is feeling uncomfortable, fearful, nervous, tense, worried about a real, imaginary, or perceived threat that might or might not happen. That's anxiety. Fret is being nervous or worried, an inner issue that eats or gnaws away at a person. Worry is overthinking a problem, Terry, and it results in distraction, depression, and lack of peace. I'm really talking about more for a prolonged time, and then this just becomes a way of life. They're all interconnected, tangled emotions and thoughts that lead to mental wrestling match with unpredictability. They all have a common, inseparable common denominator, and that's called fear. All that stuff originates in fear. Fear is a spiritual force. It emerges when we sense looming threats or dangers. First John tells us that fear has torment. Has anybody, you know, anybody like that? I do. I know more than one like that. Also, First John declares, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out all fear. It actually expels the presence of fear. When you take the fear and say, get out of here in Jesus' name, and focus on the love that God has for you. So here we go again with what medical science confirms. They've confirmed this, that sometimes as a result of long-term anxiety, fret, and worry, here are all the risk factors. I got tired of writing them down. I'm just going to tell you. Brain fog, coronary artery disease, depression, difficulty sleeping, difficulty swallowing, digestive disorders, dizziness, dry mouth, easily tired, fast heartbeat, fatigue, feeling tense, headaches, heart attack, irrational irritability, muscle aches, muscle tension, nausea, nervous energy, rapid breathing, shaking, shortness of breath, sweating, suicidal thoughts, trembling, twitching, and vomiting. Don't you think doctors should just say, you got any unforgiveness in you? Maybe we could fix that. Give them a scripture or two and tell them it's going to be okay if you get your mind right and your heart right. Isn't that the truth? What if they just said, has something been coming against you real hard that you need to take care of? Okay, or just give you 5 or 6 pills. I didn't give you all the side effects. I got tired of it. But anxiety and fret and worry, it messes with your body. That's from scientists. That's not from the Word, but I can prove it in the Word. Again, these serve as entry points for the devil and his darkness to wreak havoc in vital human systems. Now, we're talking about why do people get sick? Okay, I'm going to read you the RIV in Philippians 4:6. Don't worry about anything, and that means nothing at all. Instead, come before God and give Him the things that concern you so He can exchange, give you what you need or desire. Give the fear, give the anxiety to Him, then He's going to turn around and give you the good stuff. Be bold to strongly, passionately, and fervently make your requests known to God, making certain that an equal measure of thanksgiving goes along with your strong asking. Ask, be thankful. You have every right to ask boldly, to go ahead and insist that God meets your need. When you pray, be so bold that it is no doubt your prayer was heard. Broadcast it, declare it, pray boldly until you have the assurance that God has heard your request. That's all in Philippians 4:6. Number 7, this is the last one. Devilish attacks can open a door to sickness. Hear me well. Not in any way do I magnify the devil and his power, or suggest that he has power to stop us. But scripture makes it clear his ambushes exist. Challenges strike when we are on the right path. Unexpected hurdles target those steadfast in the faith who are walking in obedience. They are assigned to stop them from making the process. Even Jesus dealt with Satan's attempts to block him. I'm going to give you an example. In Mark 4 and 5, Jesus was on his way to Gadara to cast a legion of demons out of a demonized man. You remember the guy that says, don't do this, all this, and they put him in the pigs and blah, blah, blah. Okay. He was demonized, violent and destructive winds seemed to come out of nowhere to capsize Jesus's boat and drown him and his disciples in the middle of the Sea of Galilee. Mark 4:37, Lauren. And there arose, remember that, a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. And there arose, in the Greek, means this, something that happens unexpectedly or something that catches you off guard. Anybody ever been caught off guard? You weren't running around with wild, wild women and drinking and partying and all that. You were doing what the Lord said, but you got caught off guard. Something happened. On this storm, Brandon Beck didn't see this on his radar. It just rose up. It just rose up unexpectedly. This was a preemptive strike of the devil to prevent or undo the work of God. If these kinds of attacks came at Jesus to kill, steal, and destroy, we can expect them to happen to us. What do? We must mentally prepare ourselves to deal with demonic attacks. I'd like to say nothing bad will ever happen. They'll never have a close call, all that. I can't do that. If it happened to Jesus. But I can tell you we can win and overcome and be successful. We put on the whole armor of God and take authority over the wind and the waves that come against us in our lives, our families, our businesses, our bodies, just like Jesus did. We just take authority. Put on the armor. There's nothing for the back of the armor, so we don't run from it. We face it head on. We're not victims. We've been redeemed from Satan's hold on our lives. If he tries to exercise control over a Christian, he is violating that believers Christ has given us. The believers Christ has given us authority. We are more than equipped to face any obstacle, trial that comes our way. Jesus won that victory for us. Our job is to believe the word, to speak the word, to apply the word, read the word. I have given you 10 points and specific ways to appropriate what Jesus purchased for us. We've gone through them. I'm not doing that anymore. Healing and health was secured for all believers by Christ's sacrifice. Regardless of why people get sick, God in his great mercy has provided at the cross everything necessary for us to be healed, not just healed. Listen, the best is to walk in divine health, where you're not every other week you're getting sick. You know, I was telling the little kids, I had them, Ari rodeoed, and we thought it was going to rain, so I kept them again, and they got snot and green, and it's not pretty, and Violet sneezed, and I looked back, and I'm like, oh my gosh, Viola. So you find a napkin. So I just begin to talk to them. I said, you know what? I'm going to pray. So I prayed over. I got a little violent, going to get donuts this morning. And so I said, Quinn, when someone asks you how you feel, what are you going to say? I'm sick? No, you don't say. I'm not asking you to ignore it. I said, I'm just saying, I may look sick, but I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus. So I said, Quinn, are you sick? He said, no. Asher, are you sick? No. We don't deny that we're sick. We don't deny it. You don't deny things. We just answer it with the word of God. We let the word of God do the work. We just believe it. Our belief in the word of God is stronger than that sickness. I preach that here a lot. So I'm going to stay with it. I found out Father's Day is not, like I said, it's not next week. So I'll wrap it up here eventually. But it belongs to us. We don't have to beg God for it. Come on, believe me. Believe me. Stay away from the non-believers. Just believe me. Believe me. It's his good pleasure. Or we can just ignore it and pop pills and do everything they said. It's still good to exercise. It's still good to eat right. It's still good to say, God, should I do this? And just listen if that's for you. Or like I said, just don't do any of it and do it your way and take them side effects. I don't know. I don't like them. But anyway, take communion. Take communion. Just get used to taking communion with your family. Don't let it be embarrassing. My gosh. If it's embarrassing, do it by yourself. Then say, come on, honey, let's take it together. I mean, we do it here enough that it should be easy enough to do. So anybody have any questions? Lauren, you can...